I am Alexandre Costa. I am from Brazil, so sorry for my English, if you had some issues. It's my Twitter handle, so feel free to follow me, to keep in touch. I am very active on Twitter, so it's a great social network to talk. And there I talk about Xamarin, I talk about accessibility, and almost about technology. I am really passionate about technology. Thank you for our sponsors, partners. Thank you for the organization of the conference. When I saw the opportunity to talk here with you guys, it was great. So thanks so much for you that are here now and people that will watch it later from the recording. Here's the agenda. It's a little long list, so I don't know if the font is okay. But if you haven't, you are not able to see it, don't worry, so do I. I'll talk about what is accessibility. I think that to start, we have to get a start point and be on the same page. After that, talk about assistive technologies, that is that thing that make me use the computer, the smartphone, and the other devices. Talk about Xamarin and accessibility, how Xamarin handle accessibility APIs, and discuss about things related to it. So how can we implement small things in your apps to have it accessible? So what is accessibility? Every morning in my day, I wake up, I get my smartphone, I read the news, I go to my kitchen, I prepare my coffee, I watch some TV, usually some streaming. I ask for a ride on Uber to go to the work, the office. There on the office, I work with my colleagues, I write code, I do code reviews. So I do all kind of things, and it's normal, completely normal. But we have a different thing, I am blind. So how can I do all of these things without any barrier? So how can we give this experience for our user? So I have a small definition for accessibility, that is, you have a product or a service accessible when you remove any physical, sensorial, or cognitive barrier for the user. So eu poderia dar essa palestra completamente em português, que é o meu idioma. So I said that I could speak in Portuguese here, but the problem is that I doing that, I am not getting in touch with all of you that don't speak Portuguese. When I create an app, beautiful, with a lot of images, photos, but I don't put description of what is in the screen, I'm not accessible for everyone. When I am speaking in the event, and I say, when you can see in that code, or as you can see in that image, I am not thinking that can be people watching my presentation that can't see. So I am really accessible when I do something that everybody can use without any restrictions. But I place here in the slide a word that in my opinion, is the most important, that is the same experience. Making something accessible is not, for example, on my web site, create an URL slash accessible and make something completely different with a very simple HTML, just links, no interaction. No, to be really accessible, you and me must have the same experience. So just before starting the new project, the new screen, the new feature, think, how will be the experience I am offering to my user? Oh, it's an experience that I have to do something with movements or so on. Okay, it's the experience I want to offer. How can I make this experience enjoyable for everyone? Oh, I can make some hackings here to detect if the movement is slow and compensate it, or no, I can create an alternative path so the user can experiment it, but never do something just to be easier. Think how can you share the same experience between everybody. How does assistive technologies works? It's very interesting because I am using a computer. I am giving my presentation here. I will be opening the Visual Studio to show some code in near future. But how does it works? We have four properties that the technology, the assistive technology, hook from the system and give to the user. So first is the role. So what is this control that I am using right now, I am interacting with now? What is it? It's an entry text. It's a label. It's a button. It's a switch. It's something else. It's a carousel. It's a list. I need to know what is the element I am interacting with. The second thing is the name, the identifier of this. What is this? It's the username entry. It's the password entry. It's the login or signing button. It's the moves list. It's so I have to give a context to my user. So it's the name, it's the identifier. The third property is the state. Is it active? Is it inactive? It's enabled, it's disabled, it's checked, it's unchecked, it's filled with some value, it's not filled, it's focused. What is the state of that component in that in the moment of the interaction? And the last one, the value. Or if it's an entry, I entered with some text on that or not. It's a checkbox. It's checked, not checked, true or false. It's a spinner. What's the value in the spinner? So I have to give this four information. And it's incredible because all platforms, and as we saw in the keynote, we are cross-platform developers. It's because we use and love Xamarin. All platforms offers APIs that send this information for assistive technology. And as I'm blind, I use screen readers that convert any text in the screen to voice. But we have people that use different approach. We have in Brazil, we have a specific, in any country, we have different sign languages. And in Brazil, it's called Libras. And we have some software that converts text to this sign language. We have other people that can't move, so they use eyes, the eyes and the head to move a cursor or use a joystick to, and all of these technologies depends on that info that I listed to work properly. And as a blind, I have to use screen readers. In mobile world, we have two. That's VoiceOver for Apple system and TalkBack and Voice Assistant for, it's not listed here, but Voice Assistant from Samsung to Android. And what they do is, as I told before, they convert any kind of text on the screen to a voice that reads it loud to me. So I can interact with any app that implement accessibility and use it as a non-impaired person. It's great because I can, as I told you, use Uber or use Netflix or other products as all of you. And but why I am talking about this tool here? Because it's something that we have to keep in mind during our development. I know that we are responsible developers and we test our products in all kind of device. We test on iPhone, we test on Android, we test in different versions of the OS and so on. But with accessibility, we have the same need. We need to test it on VoiceOver in different languages. We need to test it on TalkBack in different phone calls. Sometimes some manufacturer personalize the way TalkBack read things, and sometimes you have some strange behaviors and you don't understand, and it's caused not only by the TalkBack or VoiceOver, but sometimes it's caused by the synthesizer that converts the text to voice. It's something funny that every time Apple releases a new iOS version, I discovered that a word that was spoken right is not is broken because they changed something on the internal dictionary, and you have to make some hacks to have the app saying that thing. Usually, when you have small words or things like that, you have to make some hacks, but it's okay, and it's easy to discover when you test your app. It's a small video. Unfortunately, my friend Oberdan told me that it's broken. Reflector didn't record the screen, but it's my iPhone using the Uber app, and I'm navigating on the screen. 1422. No, it's on the screen. So the other one is here.
Dock heading a tray for your most used apps that persists on all your.
So as soon as I touch on the screen reader first read what is on the screen, that element, that label, or that control that I selected. And if I want to interact with it, I have to double tap on it. So when you use a screen reader, we have different gestures. Like, for example, to scroll, it is done with three fingers on iOS and two fingers on Android. When I want to do something like drag and drop, I have to do a double tap and a long press on the second tap. There are a lot of custom gestures, but it's great because when a user discover how does it works, you don't have to worry about it on your app. If you give to your user the real mobile experience using taps, double taps, swipes, and so on, the user can use it. Another different thing that almost visual impaired people use is the swipe with one finger to the right or to the left. Acts like tab on the computer. So it's move the focus to the next or to the previous element on the screen. We can explore the screen, touching on it, as I told you guys that if I touch it reads, it don't execute the action. But usually we navigate using swipe, so we can go to the next and previous control and know what is it and interact with it. It's great. For TalkBack, it's the same.
Wallpaper button. Actions, double tap and hold to show context.
I am on the main screen.
Double tap to activate. Phone apps, 1 of 5. Messages apps, 2 of 5. Apps button, 3 of 5. Internet apps, 4 of 5.
So it reads, and as you can hear,
phone apps, 1 of 5. Actions, double tap to launch, double tap and hold to reorder, double tap and hold to show context menu.
It's not only say what is the control and read its text to me, but they give me a tip on how do I have to interact with it. And every all of this is custom, so you can interact with some APIs to work on with it. What about Xamarin in this world of accessibility? We work with a technology that is 100% native. So we have access to all native APIs, including APIs for accessibility. So when you work with Xamarin Classic and you work with native Android XML or iOS storyboards, we have on the properties panel all the properties related to accessibility in that platform. And all the properties, all the methods are completely documented. The docs of Xamarin related to the APIs are very good. And when you don't find something on that, you can go straight forward to the API documentation on Google's or Apple's sites, and it's there, and with a lot of examples and very easy to read. We have also the guides, the human interface design guides, that helps a lot because accessibility is something that nowadays is by design on that platforms. But it's good to know, good to see, good to read it. And all the time, I use accessible technologies during all my day. And sometimes I start reading some new docs or watching some videos from Google I/O and from WWDC and discover something new that they introduced and don't make marketing about it, and it's really helped me during my day. One concept very important about accessibility is the accessibility tree. So it's really a hierarchical view of the elements on your screen and the sequence that will be shown to the user that is using assistive technology. And it's a good thing to show or hide information that's not useful for the accessibility. For example, if I have an image on the screen, and this image is not important for the content, it's not worth for the user know that that image is there. It's something just for a decorative image. We can hide it from the the user. Or, for example, we have a label or some other info that we included inside the description of the element on the with the accessibility properties, and we want to hide that label. It's possible too. And the tab index is great, so I can manipulate the way the user interacts with that screen when they navigate using the next and previous movements. So we really can make the experience easier. So let's try to show it. First of all, let's revisor.
Time and weather for spring widget. Double tap and hold to long press.
Is visor showing my screen, my device screen? Oh, thank you. Run the app. It's just a playground with a lot of code here. I will try to describe almost kind of code. But after this presentation, I will publish it on a repo that you guys will have access with a lot of material from the conference. And there we will have access to all the code. But what we will show are simple attributes that you can introduce in your interface, and with that, you can have your app more accessible. Deploy.
Phone apps, 1 of 5. Actions, double tap to launch, double tap and hold to reorder, double tap and hold to show context menu. Purple, blue, dark gray, blue, purple.
So what I have here, we have three bars, one purple, one blue, and one gray. And they was built using BoxView. BoxView is something that it's only visual. We don't have any info about accessibility for these kinds of control. But if you notice here, I don't know if you can see on the screen, but
purple.
When I select the box view, TalkBack puts a green rectangle around it. It's the TalkBack focus. And how can I, how can we achieve it? What I did. primeira página, acho que... If you go to the right code, it appears. Let's read. All right, so it's a little bit different here. But I create a key, here a custom control that's an accessible bar. Let's see accessiblebar.cs. So on the constructor, I am setting the isAccessibleTree automation properties dot isAccessibleTree for true. So with that, I am saying to the assistive technology, hey, there is a control here that you can access, right? When isAccessibleTree is the way that you show and you hide a control from the assistive technology. It's the first step you have to do. And the second thing I did I created a property called label that what it do is set the automation properties dot name to that control. So with these two properties is in accessible tree and name, TalkBack now is able to read these bars to me.
Blue, dark gray, blue, dark gray, blue, purple, purple, and game.
Right. Related to tab index.
Selected, accessible tree. Double tap to act. Selected. Selected, access, tab index. Tab index. Selected.
I have the buttons here with a number on the end, and it's in a completely different order. And I will try to swipe left and right to read what they will say to me.
Automation at X label. Double and game. Double. Welcome to Xamarin Forms. Welcome to Xamarin Forms and Prism. Three button.
Three.
Welcome to Xamarin Forms and Prism. One button.
One.
Welcome to Xamarin Forms and Prism. Zero button.
Zero.
Welcome to Xamarin Forms and Prism. Three button. Welcome to Xamarin Forms and Prism. One button. Welcome.
So it's in a different order that I put on the code. Let's see the code. Oh, sorry, I didn't ask if the size of the font is okay to read. Oh, okay. It caused to me, it don't make any difference, so. So I create a grid, lot of so here, I have the tab index set to 3. So the tab index, it's incredible. The default value is zero. And when it's zero, the control will appear in the tree. In the position, it's defined in the XAML. So if it's the third element in the XAML, it will be the third element that will receive the focus. But we can manipulate it. If we put a positive number starting in one, it will be the position of that element in the navigation. So one will be the first element to receive focus, two, three, and four. So here I just messed the sequence, and is that sequence that my app will respect when I navigate. It's great because sometimes you have some fields that are not not required to the user to go to the next screen, or we want to make it easier to navigate. So it's great. Oh, thank you. Let's return to the slides. Automation ID and automation properties.name. It's used to identify to the user the control that he is interacting. But we have a bad thing here. I know that we have an issue open on Xamarin Forms because they use the automation ID for Android. It uses the same information about accessibility. By the way, if you want to make UI automation, what independent of the technology you use, UI automation is done using accessibility APIs. But here we have an issue that if you put an automation ID that is not understandable by the user, like a code or something like that, in Android, it will be replace the text that will be spoken by TalkBack. So it's good to really think what is happening on the automation ID and what you want that to be read to the user on the screen. Let's see that. First of all, the screen. So if I go here to the third tab.
Selected tab index, automation index label, automation index label, and username container, username, edit box.
So it read to me username,
password, edit box,
password,
login button.
What is written, what is the text of the button? The first one, sign in, but.
Login, create an account, but login button.
Login.
Double tap to activate.
And the second one is sign up, right? It reads
create an account button.
Create an account.
Double tap to activate.
So we have to pay attention to that because it can make a lot of confusion to the user. And let's see what I did here. So I have an automation ID here saying something different. So it's something that you have to pay attention. But at the same time, it's very useful when you need to, you have another property that's help text that you can use to give more context to the user. But it's great to have really texts and captions and so on that guide the user to the best experience. But At the same time, pay attention to don't mess with the text and do something that is good for automation, but is not good for the user. Labeled by and help text. It's user to give more information to the user about that control, and we can use it referencing another control or putting more information. We have here.
End game. End game. Selected.
We have here two circles. I know because I create it. So, and when we navigate,
coin, coin, one up, accessible tree, power up, power up.
So. I can't play Mario, but I know the sounds. So how I did it? So I have a label, I have a box view, and a gesture recognizer, and a native Android call to play sounds, right? So it's great. So as you can see, it's very easy to do things. It's usually when you use native controls or the controls that Xamarin.Forms give you almost all accessibility is implemented, or you have to make just a few refinements, like adding is an accessible tree, for example, when you use box view to represent something, or giving a better label to it, or mixing the tab order. Tips and tricks. All right, first of all, learn how to use assistive technology. Don't be afraid of turning on TalkBack or turning on VoiceOver on your device. First, the first tip here is before activating it, activate the accessibility shortcut. For example, on iPhone, you can activate for three taps on the home button or the side button in the new devices, activate or deactivate VoiceOver. Because as it changes the gestures, the first impression is that you have an iPhone that doesn't work anymore. The second thing is testing different devices. Test it in different OS calls. Sometimes it's good for iOS and it's not so good for Android or vice versa. Before thinking in the future, thinking about the experience, understand how the platforms works, read the guides. I know that they are long, they are sometimes boring, but it's good to know. And it's make a big difference, because when I want to go to some places and I know that I can count on Uber to, or when I in Brazil we use a service called iFood to call for to deliver food at your home. So It's a big game change in the life of people with disabilities when you can use a product, you can use a service that you can count on because it's accessible. I know that I don't have so much time, but any questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So will TalkBack and or VoiceOver work with translating text on the screen in a different language if the phone or the current thread culture is not set to do the language?
No, unfortunately not. Not yet. I know that in the new versions of the OS, you can set a language for the app, and it would change. Because today, on macOS and on Windows, the screen reader can detect the language. For example, in a web page, you can mark that element with the attribute lang and put the language, and it changed the synthesizer automatically. But on mobile, it doesn't don't happen yet. So unfortunately, you have that the user changed by themselves. I have this problem because my phone is set up for English and Portuguese, and all the time, I am browsing the web or doing something with an app that is in English. All right, I am with the app set up to English. Oh, I am talking with my mother in WhatsApp, for example. I have to switch to Portuguese and read. And sometimes the user is so... It's every day. Sometimes I am reading things in English using Portuguese voice and so on. It's really bizarre, but sometimes it's happy because you have low time. But I know that it's something that we ask a lot for Google and Apple. And I read something about that the new release of the system will have it. For Apple, I know that as VoiceOver is incorporated into the system, it will work system-wide. But TalkBack, as it's a external app, it's native installed in almost all phones, but it's a external app. I think that is something that they will create a kind of settings to enable it. Oh.
I have a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, are the properties, accessibility properties, fully bindable?
Yeah, okay. Fully bindable.
And the second one is, if I have like a chat app and people are talking to you in broken English or in slang, that type of thing, is it accessible at that point? Does it translate those not-so-good words?
No. What it did use, I like to say that we have some words that some conventions. For example, when you are talking on the internet, you know that people say a different language. In Portuguese, we abbreviate a lot of words, and I know. I know that. So sometimes the user adapts themselves to read that and try to understand. But it depends on the way that the people are, that the person is writing. It's sometimes really hard to understand what's happening. But I don't know if it's easy to create a translation for some things. What we do as impaired people is we try to adapt the workflow to work on it. For example, in the company I work for, with Oberdan, and Oberdan is the guy that loves to send GIFs. So, and it's not accessible, but usually on the name of the image or, for example, in the Slack, on Slack emojis, you have a code. So I usually translate that code, it's talking about this thing, and get along with the joke, so.
Yeah,
No, you are.
So printers don't support emoji? They won't even read like the Unicode name emoji at all, or just the?
No, the Slack ones, the native ones for the platform, they convert to the text, and Apple is very funny with the way they translate the emojis. Sometimes people send emojis to me thinking that it's explain one emotion and it's explaining a completely different one. It's really, really fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I really like and I use emojis a lot. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys.